All right, welcome to this next episode of Beyond the Sermon. My name is Greg Vanderloo. We got Robbie Simons here. And then, Robbie, we have a special guest today to talk through our topic and content. And maybe you want to introduce Tim to everyone checking in today.
Yeah, this is Pastor Tim Kerr. Tim, delighted you're here with us right now. Just for you all, for some context, too, Tim has been a personal mentor of mine for well over 20 years now. Our story goes back a long way. It's really, really neat, really encouraging, very much of the Lord too. It's actually brought about full circle where Tim is now, again, part-time with us on staff and really serving to mentor and to care for our entire staff team. And he's been used in a wonderful, wonderful way. So for me personally, like this is the delight, how much you've meant to me over the years and to have you here right now to talk about this issue of wisdom in the home. It's like a dream come true in so many ways. So I thank the Lord for that. I'm so glad for all of you to meet Tim. You've probably seen him on videos we've done out, different things, but to hear from him now, and I hope you'll grow to love him as I love him too. So Tim, welcome to everything and welcome to our roundtable discussion.
Thank you, Robbie. That's very, very kind of you.
Yeah, glad you're here. So today, as Robbie said, we are talking about wisdom. We're in the series in our church where we're talking about the Lord building our house or our homes, our marriages, our lives, and as that leads to blessing in life. And so most recently, we had a sermon on wisdom and what is biblical wisdom, what is godly wisdom in the home. And so we're going to unpack that today. In our episode, I want to begin our episode today in Proverbs 24, 3 and 4, which says this: by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So here's the first question today. Maybe, Tim, you want to start with this. What is wisdom, and why is godly or biblical wisdom important in the lives of believers? Or maybe put another way, why is it important that we talk about this today?
Yeah, great question. Well, the way I've described wisdom over the years to those who have asked me that question is this, is biblically, knowledge and wisdom actually are the same. But in popular culture, knowledge and wisdom are different. So let me use the popular culture way of expression and give you a definition. In popular culture, knowledge is like a Google search. You go into a massive database and there's just tons of information. And so people are always amassing information, tons of information. They're getting more and more PhDs all the time. But are they able to use the information? That's a different thing. You can have a lot of information but not make it useful. I say wisdom is like AI. AI is different from Google in that it's got all this data, but it puts the interconnections between the data and makes sense about the connections and puts something that's actually useful for you. And that's what wisdom's like. Wisdom is skill in life. It's taking the knowledge and making it, putting it on the ground. It's rubber where the rubber meets the road. It's making it useful. And so therefore, that's the answer to the second question. That's why wisdom matters. Wisdom matters because this is where we live. Wisdom is where we live, not using knowledge where we live to make it useful to us. Skillful living.
Amen.
Yeah, that's helpful because what we're able to do then is take a knowledge or understanding and then apply it to our lives, which is really the premise of this type of a resource for our church. It's taking God's word, applying it to our lives. And so I think that's really helpful. So maybe, Robbie, let's pivot now to scripture and think, in light of what Tim was saying just about the application of what we know, whether it's doctrine or theology, and applying that to our lives, what does scripture say about wisdom? I mean, we know the Proverbs as a genre of wisdom literature has a lot to say about wisdom itself, but maybe get us started in terms of what does the Bible actually say?
Yeah, the Bible says a lot about wisdom. Right off the bat, I love the topic of wisdom. In some ways, I find myself at times obsessed with this topic because I just believe that it prevents us from so much unnecessary pain, heartache, and misery. The value of wisdom and what the Bible says about wisdom. I mean, Proverbs chapters 1-9, it's an entire unpacking of essentially the absolute necessity and value and precious nature of wisdom. 9 straight chapters of why you want wisdom in your life. Not to mention the book of James, and not to mention Jesus Christ himself is the personification ultimately of wisdom. So again, the wise person, again, wants to be wise. Now, you said scripture. So Proverbs 4, verse 7, it's been one of my favorite verses on wisdom because it says this: the beginning of wisdom is this. So whenever the Bible says that, I'm listening. Are you listening? You should be listening, right? The beginning of wisdom is this. Whatever comes next is going to be very, very important. So the beginning of wisdom is this. Been around our church. You know where we're going. But Some are listening. You haven't heard us before. So one more time. The beginning of wisdom is this. And the answer is get wisdom. Get wisdom. I love that so much. I didn't make that up. It's right here in the Bible. This is Proverbs 4, verse 7. And it goes on to say, whatever you get insight. Whatever you get insight. So I read that and I'm like, okay, so apparently wisdom is very, very important, again, to the author of Proverbs here. And again, those who want us to grow in wisdom and to see God's blessing in our lives. And so the wise person wants wisdom. So just right away, are you wise? If you're wise, then you want more wisdom, you know? And it goes on to say here too, again, just in Proverbs 4 and verse 8, prize her highly and she will exalt you. She here is wisdom. Again, we see the woman wisdom all throughout Proverbs. So beautiful, so powerful. From the starting point for the home, for your life as an individual, in your marriage, family, in your friendships. Again, you and I must desire wisdom. And of course, the wisdom that comes from the Lord and the wisdom presented to us in the Bible. Tim, I know that this is so much of what you talk about and think about too. What would you add to this intro kind of question?
I love what you're saying there, Robbie. I was thinking of the verse from Proverbs 3:15. Nothing you desire can compare with her. I mean, think of all the things we desire, the good things we desire, all those good things, none of that can compare with wisdom. So the Bible gives it a special category. It's in a special category and therefore very, very important for our lives.
Robbie, you were just at the end of that answer there, just describing biblical wisdom, touching on a few of the subjects that we've looked at in this series. So wisdom then applies practically to us as we follow Christ and as we submit to the Word. It applies to marriages and it applies to families and so many other contexts too. You know, we're going to have a episode as well just on biblical grandparenting. And so let's break down a couple of these categories and think, because I think if we look in the world around us and in culture, we just see so much of a lack of wisdom, which is why, you know, even the promises in James, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask. There should be much asking in our culture and in our lives as we follow Christ to gain wisdom. So let's take a couple of these categories. Okay. Could be personal categories of our pursuit of Christ and our following after him. Could be marriages, could be families. Maybe why don't we start with personal holiness, and what does wisdom look like for someone who wants to follow Jesus? You know, Robbie, you're talking about the beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. So how do we get that in our lives? Maybe there's routines, spiritual disciplines, things that we can consider.
Yeah, absolutely. So much we talk about when it comes to the pursuit of wisdom is going to be things that we know to be true. So where does wisdom originate? Where does the teaching on wisdom come from? It comes from the Bible. It comes from the Word. Anyone who's serious is serious about wisdom is serious about being in the truth of God's Word, is seriously asking God for wisdom. Again, James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask for it. And God who graciously supplies these things. So this is the starting point. I guess practically too, when I talk to individuals and I do, you know, a lot of leadership mentoring and whatnot, and you're talking to a man, a young man, and you realize that there's not an active desire for wisdom. There's not an active expectation of wisdom. They're not thinking about wisdom. So that's the starting point right there too, is to say, I want to think about it. I want to desire it. And then where do I get it? I pray, I ask, I'm in the Word of God. I love what Proverbs 8 here says about wisdom speaking. I love those who love me. That's so good. Wisdom loves those who loves her. So I want to be someone that wisdom loves, and I need to love wisdom in order for wisdom to love me as well. So again, this daily pursuit, this desire, and this understanding I need to not just have knowledge, as Tim explained to us, it's knowledge rightly applied, which is, again, skillful living, which is wisdom in my life, because the value and the benefits of wisdom are so immense. So again, I'm speaking around it, but I think I'm speaking to it as well. To say again, daily wanting, go ahead.
I think that's helpful. Like Tim, going back to the definition you had earlier about the application is what defines wisdom in our lives. Maybe to a young person or a new believer or someone, Robbie, even as you said, someone who's hungry to grow in wisdom, what are those practical steps that you'd say to them? Start here. Or you know, if you try this or begin to do this, it'll be so helpful and fruitful as you begin to, you know, maybe take the knowledge that you know, apply it to your life. Where would that person begin with some little incremental steps?
great question. So let me give you one that I've thought about. A key principle of wisdom is what I call the tension of the two. The tension of the two. And this is that there are two things that God wants us to pursue in tension that are opposites. So, for example, justice is wrongs get punished with justice. Mercy is wrongs don't get punished. Which ones can we choose as Christians? Mm-hmm. Well, both. We got to be about both. Speaking the truth in love. You know, I say it's like the truth is like the scalpel in the operating room, but you want to make sure there's some anesthetic before you get to the scalpel. Mm-hmm. You want both anesthetic, love, scalpel, truth. Good things happen in the room. You try to just use the scalpel to put the person into shock. Just use the anesthetic. They just feel good and they wake up and nothing's changed. Both are necessary. There's multiple things in the scripture like this. Work and rest. Mm-hmm. Activity and non-activity. Which one can we choose? The wise person has to choose both. Mm-hmm. So there's the tension of the two. So I would say you begin there. And then a second principle that I would say that you attach to that is the principle of proportionality. My wife makes lots of pies, and you put sugar in these apple pies, and you put a little pinch of salt, I hear. You want to make sure you put 2 cups of sugar and a pinch of salt. You don't want to put 2 cups of salt and a pinch of sugar. Mm-hmm. You know, the proportions matter. So therefore, like say, work and rest. Work and rest. The Bible tells us to work 6 days and rest one. Mm. Not 3.5 and 3.5, for example. It's not half and half. So those are two principles that I think are a good way to kind of start. When in any situation, say, what are the two principles in tension here that I need to observe and notice and honor? And then what are the proportions? I think those two principles are a good way to start on a whole bunch of areas.
Super practical too. Yeah. And I always love when I hear Tim share his wisdom on wisdom too. I've been receiving this for decades and like, you go on. It's so good too. Super practical. What I love to do is whatever day of the month it is, I go to that proverb. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, if it's again, the 10th day of the month, I go to Proverbs chapter 10. I read that as a way on top of my Bible reading plan. I literally did that this morning because I love the Proverbs so much. I find it's like, again, you have basically the first 9 chapters are pretty, consecutive and they're tied together as a whole. Chapter 10 on, you kind of have one verse at a time and they're all speaking to different areas. And in my margins of my Bible, I'm like, this talks about work. This talks about finances. This talks about integrity. Mm. This talks about, you know, relationships. And I've been doing this for so many years now. So I commend that to people who are listening. You want to grow in wisdom, whatever day of the month, get out. Again, there happens to be 31 Proverbs, very helpful. So you'll never be left, you know, empty. And as a way to keep getting it and just verses. So these verses I've come to memorize, I know, or I see, and I'm like, oh, I need to hear that today.
Yeah.
That's a way to practically get that wisdom in your heart on an ongoing basis frequently.
And I think that's helpful because the application can only begin when you know what God's word says.
Yes.
And so you submit and get into, submerge yourself into God's word to know what it says. And then, as Tim was saying, then you have the ability to apply it to life, whether it's work or finances or marriage, or you just even in our own personal testimony in submitting to God's word in the promises that it promises over our lives as followers of Christ. Tim, let's talk maybe along that line too. What would wisdom look like in a biblical marriage? So when a husband and a wife get married and they begin this journey or this season together, I'm not sure many couples maybe think, like, what role does wisdom play for us? Maybe uniquely, what does wisdom look like in the life of a husband? What does wisdom look like in a wife? How do they seek wisdom together? Anything to share on that?
Wow. That's a hard one.
This is a big question, right?
Yeah. It's loaded.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'd have to confess my non-wisdom that I've had a lot of made it so many mistakes and therefore learning through mistakes would be one of the ways you learn wisdom, I think. I think one of the ways you learn wisdom is actually learning through the mistakes of others. But unfortunately, that we don't always learn that way. Therefore, we have to learn through our own mistakes. I think wisdom is... helps in all relationships because I think when you're young, you tend to come at life and you come to come at life like it's everything's black and white. Hmm. It's either right or wrong. I was like that as young. I was very fervent about everything, you know, everything mattered. And there was a little gray. And then you realize as you get older, there's actually a lot more gray. And you have to nuance that. So, you know, when you're raising kids, it's you have to raise your kids differently because they're all different. They have different personalities. They have different sensitivities to sin. So relating to your wife requires wisdom in the sense that you have to nuance things. You have to ask lots of questions. You can't just come at life like everything's just either a no or a yes, a right or a wrong. You have to open it up and examine it and often find pathways through. I don't know if that's too vague, but Robbie, you're good at the real practical stuff. Tell me what that looks like in real life.
Yeah, I think as we continue to talk about this, and as you're talking, and I'm thinking and listening as well. Again, I would start by saying too, as I talk to a lot of men, again, obviously married, I want more men to want wisdom more, and I want more men to understand that they are not wise. Okay, like when we do something, we're like, that didn't work. Why is it not working? Well, because you're acting like a fool. And Proverbs has a ton to say about that. Again, I need to hear that from me. I need the Lord to tell me and others to say your behaviors are foolish and they don't work. Again, I'm very practical and I like bottom lining everything. So if I see a behavior that the Bible tells me will end up in foolishness and end up in hurting my marriage, then I'm like, okay, why would I want to do that, right? That is the beginning of wisdom to say, I'm not dumb enough to keep repeating things that are going to create damage. Mm-hmm. So again, the first part, I want more men, and of course women too, but I want more men to desire more wisdom, right? Then you open up Proverbs. Like we're dealing with Proverbs. Our message dealt with Proverbs exclusively, so I'm excited about that. But you read verses on communication, right? You read the harsh word, you know, damages, or a gentle tongue brings healing, right? So you're like, okay, so I could come at my wife in a harsh way and feel like I'm winning, but in the end I lose. Or I could come in with a genuine conviction, but say it in a tone that is winsome and loving. Well, that is wise. That is wisdom, practical things we take into our daily life. Wisdom in the home. Again, if I fail to discipline my children and I let them run the house, I'm dumb. I'm a fool. The Bible tells me that over and over again. But when I believe in the value of discipline as a form of love, because I need to make sure my child understands that a knowledge between good and evil is going to help them immensely in the end, that is wisdom. It's very, very practical. And there are many, many verses in Proverbs that speak to this. And maybe we'll get to some of those more again in detail as we go. A couple examples right there to say, man, wisdom in the moment, and you apply it and you're like, wow, I'm choosing the path of blessing. I am avoiding the path of foolishness. I'm choosing the path of God's favor. I'm avoiding the path of essentially God's curse upon my life, marriage, family, friendships. Tons about friendships in Proverbs too, right? So we're speaking to all areas and all people in our church as well. And again, you can tell, oh man, wisdom is so helpful.
Yeah. It might even be, I mean, not to oversimplify it, but even in the context of marriage, I think the best thing that your spouse needs in you is to desire godly wisdom as an individual, because as you seek wisdom to apply God's word in your life and then into your marriage, your spouse benefits from that. And I think so much of even the newly married stage of life is, you know, you're not only learning to do life with this person who's there all the time, and you're making life decisions together. I love even back in the episode with Chris and Michelle, we talked about practically when a husband and a wife do life together and it's mutual and complementary, they consult each other and they seek each other's wisdom about how God's leading them. Like that's a wonderful contrast in what that looks like together. So in the newly married stage, there's so much of it is new. Like, how do we do this together? How do we make decisions together? How do we sense the Lord leading us together? What is the Lord calling us to as a family? But here's a question. So from the early stages of marriage, Tim, maybe you can speak to even your marriage too. You know, you guys have been married for a long time, and for you and Joanne, that looks different. I mean, Robbie, we talked about this too. You guys are celebrating 25 years. Does wisdom change over the years? There's so much learning of wisdom, and the desire is always true. But like, what does wisdom look like a little bit later on in marriage as you get more comfortable with each other and as God is, by his grace, sanctifying you? Does it ever look different, or is just it's always the pursuit of fear the Lord, get wisdom? What would you guys say to that?
That's an interesting question too. Yeah, I think it does change. Like I would say one of the areas that I've noticed that Joanne and I were coming up to 40 years this year married.
That's awesome.
Well, she's a wonderful, wonderful woman to put up with me that long.
I can verify that.
Yeah. That's right. That's true. I think I kind of referenced this a little earlier, but I think as we've gotten older, we realize that there's just a lot less that we have to worry about. Mm-hmm. I just feel like there are some things that are supremely important, and there are so many things that don't matter that much.
That's right.
And it's just not worth fighting about. And I think one of the things as a pastor, you know, 45 years now in ministry, I think one of the things that I've seen is couples who are kind of biting at each other about little things all the time. Yeah. They're just sweating the small stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I would say that's one area that's changed, is that we're just a lot of things now. We just say, you know what, that doesn't really matter. I've often thought, you know, love covers a multitude of sins. Yeah. Love also uncovers. You know, that's what the gospel does. Love, the gospel uncovers our sin, yeah, and then it covers it. It does both. Well, I think we have to learn how to do that. And it's a wonderful thing to just kind of learn how to cover certain sins. That's not excusing it. It's not, you get to it eventually, but you know, God's not just kind of hitting us every time we're having a bad thought. Mm. Oh, well, there, no, stop that. Oh, there, you're thinking it again. Oh, there you go again. You know, he's not doing that. He's just, so I feel like we need to learn how to kind of imitate God in that and just cover things. And I would say that's one of the ways you change, is that it's just certain things matter supremely, even more than they did at the mm-hmm. beginning. And other things you just say, you know what? I'm just going to choose to overlook that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's yeah. helpful.
I really would affirm again what Tim is saying, and I would 100% agree. That's something I've noticed, like even in recent days or weeks. Like you remember a flashback to like, you know, year three, and you would say something and you're just so dumb. Like you just like, you idiot. Like you say something and it's all about you, and you're not thinking about her, and you just, maybe you want to just win an argument. But as the years go by, I so agree. You're just like, I don't really care enough about that to try to be right at this point or to win. I find there are fewer hills that I'm willing to die on now, because again, it's just what Tim said in a bit of a different way, but then there's the few hills that I will mm-hmm. die on 100%. And mm-hmm. and the beauty of it, I think when you go through stuff together, mm-hmm. and in this case, marriage, you go through stuff together, and Jill will be the same way. Like there's mm-hmm. just, I've noticed a change in her where, you know, many, many years ago, she might've said something or got offended, or she even gets to know me better. Mm-hmm. Oh, my husband's not in a great spot right now. He's had a long week. I find that she gives grace more than ever, and grace, I don't deserve it, but she's giving it because she loves me. And she's like, you know what? Robbie probably just needs a good night's sleep, and maybe I'll try again in the morning or something yeah. like that. Right? That's wisdom. Yeah. That is saying, now's not the time. I'm going to wait on the Lord. And I find myself doing the same, and it really does work, and it adds up. So for the young couples there, man, try to learn your lessons early. Like mm-hmm. when stuff goes wrong, take a moment in humility and trying to, you know, yell over a situation or just even saying, I'm right. Just take a moment and say, okay, what happened there? Why did it go bad? How do I own that part? How can I do different next time? Because that didn't work. Again, that didn't work. You might have won the argument, but it didn't work. Your wife doesn't like you right now, you know? So in the end, that's a fail. So just take some moments, seek the Lord, open up Proverbs. What can I learn from what happened? And how can I get better next time by God's grace and by his Spirit, so that when it happens again, see, wisdom says, again, it's applying it in the moment. Wisdom says, again, that is not the answer. The answer is something different. Mm-hmm. So therefore, because I want to bless, again, my wife in this case, and bless our home, I'm going to choose a different path according to the wisdom of God. So yeah. I love how practical this gets. And I'm hoping others can pick up on that too.
Yeah.
Greg, I just thought of something else while Robbie was talking. Is I think another huge area that's changed actually mm-hmm. is in the early years, we would be feeling things but not communicating how we're feeling. And then we react to when the other person didn't get how we were feeling. Mm. Especially guys, I think we're not as good at being in touch with our feelings. We feel things. We're not necessarily aware of how we're feeling until somebody else pokes their finger in our eye, and then we become aware of it. And so I think one of the things that has really changed, I would say in the last 10 years, where I will say something like this to Joanne, I'm feeling a little discouraged today. Mm. Just let you know, I'm just feeling a little discouraged. I'm not asking for a pity party or anything like that. So, you know, I'm feeling a little discouraged. And she'll often say, well, why do you know? Why? And I go, no, I don't. I haven't figured it out yet. Or Joanne will sometimes just say, I'm feeling edgy. You know, I'm feeling a little anxious. I'm not quite sure why. Sometimes we know why, sometimes we don't. But we kind of give each other a little bit of a heads up. That doesn't mean that everything has to change, but mm-hmm. it just has to mean like husbands live with your wives in an understanding way.
Yeah.
So it gives me she's having a little bit of a harder day today, and I need to be a little more sensitive. That would be helpful. Mm-hmm. So just sharing of our feelings with one another as a heads up before something happens that's a brand new thing. We never used to do that.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. I think in marriage, often we say too, about marriage refines us. Mm. And when you think about wisdom as the application of the knowledge, going back to the beginning, now, what a wonderful context every single day to have someone help you apply God's word to a relationship that is so near and dear to your heart and someone you do life with together for 40 years, 25 years, or even for the newlywed. Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful context to practice and learn and make mistakes. And, hindsight's 20/20. So you look back and what did we learn from this and how do we move forward? Mm-hmm. So I think that's really helpful to think through of not only how wisdom changes over the years, but just the importance of learning your lessons early.
Yeah,
and learning for not just the sake of like, oh yeah, we were able to identify what wisdom would say in that moment if we were to do this again, but so that for the future, hopefully we won't find ourselves in this situation again, or in this moment again, or I don't want to treat you like that, or do that again. That's really helpful. Yeah. Let's talk about wisdom now in parenting. Mm. Beyond now the relationship of the husband and wife. Kids enter the picture, and I think there's obviously that stage. We all have kids here, different stages of life, different seasons, and kids enter the picture, and sometimes we just get caught off guard, and all the things that we know or have been taught from Scripture in our lives, think like, I just don't even know where to begin to apply these things. So let's talk about wisdom in our parenting. Does it look different? Some things that we've tried, practical routines or practices, and then how do you impart wisdom to your kids? Maybe life lessons that you've learned to pass on. So either you want to begin there, just some thoughts about wisdom and its place within our parenting today.
I defer to Tim.
That's another great question. So I would say one of the ways we learn wisdom is from Scriptures. The primary way we learn wisdom. We also learn wisdom from experience, of course. And therefore, setting up a pattern of opening the Scriptures daily in the home. I would say as a couple, you want to do this before you even have kids. Mm-hmm. And then we've always attached this to the end of our dinner hour. And in the early days, it was just 3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes when the kids were real, real little. And gradually teach them how to pray Scripture. And I remember when my kids were real little and they couldn't even read, I'd give them a Bible and I'd teach them the letters G-O-D. And I say, every time you see the words G-O-D, circle it. So I got Bibles that are completely ruined because they got these circles all over the place. And just to keep them occupied, it was like a little game. And then eventually taught them when they learned how to pray to read the Scriptures. And to actually pray the Scriptures, so I feel like that's a key habit you want to instill in the families of a daily time in the Word. In the early stages, it's very small singing. Joanne and I can't sing worth beans, but we sing our hearts out, and we learned all kinds of songs over time, and then eventually we would add catechisms, added Scripture memory. There's all kinds of things. We actually even had novels at times as the kids got older. So I would say that's one thing of imparting wisdom is just by a daily time around the Word where you're there and you're talking, and I'd ask questions. They'd ask questions. In fact, my wife's kind of the evangelist in our home. I'm the teacher. So out of those times, Joanne would slowly pull our kids aside into conversations when I wasn't around and would go from there to the explaining the gospel to them, and then they'd come to faith. So that would be one major way to insert wisdom into the home, I would say, is just regular exposure to the Word of God.
Yeah. That's helpful.
I know we got a bunch of topics maybe want to get to, or at least a couple more. I know time's going by here, but it's amazing that the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs is a father pleading with a son. Like the very context of Proverbs itself, the intentionality of the father towards the son, as Tim is explaining, that's always blessed me so much, and all the different topics. But again, the father is immensely trying to convince his son as to the value of woman wisdom. right? And so that's something for me too, for my kids. I want so much for them as a starting point to value the things we're talking about today. The father goes on to details and very practical. Son, watch out for the adulterous woman. Watch out for the issue of lust. Like there's 2.5 chapters, 5, 7 and half of chapter 6. They're detailing. So again, the father's wise and he's like, man, son, if you're going to make it in this life, you need wisdom. So parents need to do that with their kids. Again, this is foundational, but it's like, this is the foundation that leads to everything else. You show me a child that has, you know, the beginning of wisdom is this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, okay, you fear the Lord, man, I like your chances in life, right? So we start there as the base of our parenting and then practical things come from there. But don't miss the foundation in the pursuit of the practical when it comes to parenting and then wisdom with our kids and in our home.
Mm-hmm. So the imparting of wisdom to our kids, though, I'm curious to know your thoughts on this. When we believe and embrace that our children are born sinful in need of a savior, and you're trying to pass on godly wisdom to them, I think many parents have felt this before. There's this, you know, they're tapped out of patience and they're wondering like, why don't you get this? Or we've talked about this before, or how come you don't see it the way I do? And in many ways, we have this wonderful application of God's view in our own lives and the times that we mess up. But what about parents who feel like they're trying to teach wisdom to their kids and they just don't get it? And maybe they're getting discouraged or frustrated by that. The commitment to continue to lay the foundation, I think, is a really helpful way to think through that. But is there any just like helpful encouragement or advice to the parent, you know, continue to wait for the moment of salvation when then they long and desire for godly wisdom also? You understand what I'm trying to kind of ask here, or just a word of encouragement for a parent who says, yeah, my kids just don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say welcome to the club. You know what I mean? Or like, yes. I mean, that is the experience for all of us. Again, we talked in previous episodes, we cannot change our children. Like, we cannot save our children. We can point them in the right direction. My wife and I recently had a conversation of just this, the perseverance, the desire to continue in the ways of the gospel, mm-hmm. to continue in the ways of Jesus Christ. And I think though you can make significant deposits of wisdom again in a child at different stages and even before they're genuinely saved, and things that can come alive later or things they can take too. I mean, there's so much practical wisdom again in the book of Proverbs alone. If you simply follow this path, you're going to be on a path of blessing. Obviously, adding Jesus Christ to the equation changes everything.
Yeah.
So yes, intentionality, persevere, don't give up, pray your face off along all these things too, to ultimately God to do things we can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, and here would be a promise that I want to give everyone out there raising kids is Isaiah says, he gently leads those who have young. You know, God gently leads. So he leads, he'll help us, he'll lead us. And he gently, he's patient. He's very patient with us. God is the most patient person you've ever met, you know. So he helps us along. We need grace in this. Grace is for this. Actually, you know, Isaiah 11:2 talks about the spirit of wisdom being on the Messiah. And all the words in Isaiah 11:2 are all wisdom words. So it's a spirit given thing. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. It's something that God gives us and then we put into practice. So without the wind of God in our sails, our craft's not going to go very far.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And that becomes a wonderful personal prayer to pray in your own life, right?
Yep.
God,
yep.
More of you, more of your spirit, more of the wisdom that I need to go through life. Maybe to kind of wrap up this conversation, for someone maybe in our church who's thinking, I just don't see the practical benefit of wisdom. So obviously they're admitting there that, you know, that would be a person who needs more wisdom, or maybe they're just not convinced of how important it is that we've been talking about today. Just words of encouragement or exhortation to say, this is why, whoever the individual is, this is why you need to dedicate or commit your life to wisdom. Maybe it's a passage that's meant a lot to you to say, this has just totally changed me. It shaped me. It's formed me. I've just seen God bless through this commitment to wisdom. But what would you say to someone who's maybe not as fully convinced about why wisdom is essential in your life and why it leads to blessing?
I would go back to the beginning of this episode and then press play. That's what I would do. So yeah, I think the entire thing has been pointing people and trying to lay the foundation biblically as to why wisdom is so valuable and so important. And again, that is a starting point as well. Again, and maybe it's a systematic study, again, in the book of Proverbs of some of the themes that we're talking about. We haven't got to like the importance of hard work and the fight against laziness, you know, when it comes to like, and you start seeing these principles of truth come up at you, or how much Proverbs talks about money.
Yeah.
How much Proverbs talks about the wisdom of just how we handle our finances indicates so much of kind of where we are in life, you know, and getting these things right and seeking the Lord in it. And all of a sudden, wow, you become convinced, you know. Maybe it's about Proverbs, how it speaks to us on the words we use, death and life are in the power of the tongue, you know. Again, just the ability to have the wisdom in what we think, what we speak, and then the actions we take. There's so many different areas that the Bible speaks to on this area of wisdom. And I think as we genuinely seek the Lord and his wisdom in his word, we become like I just overwhelms me, like, in a good way. I'm like, I believe this so much. Like, I'm so convinced this is right. And I want to live my life according by the Holy Spirit. I want to live according to these principles of wisdom, because I truly believe they'll be blessed. So maybe like, hey, take God his word, you know, maybe try God out in this way. Don't just kind of read it for 2 seconds, but actually dive in, grab the themes, pull it out, try it in your life. Get back to me, see what happens.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
Yeah, that's helpful, right? The conviction to say that godly wisdom leads to a life of blessing. That's an apologetic in itself.
Yes,
and then to open up the book of Proverbs and to do a study, and maybe even just to help someone understand the reason why godly wisdom is so important in your life is because it speaks to every single context.
Yes.
Anything you're going through, whether it's a topic you read about within scripture or just something you're going through in life, God's word is sufficient and clear, and it will speak to you and lead to blessing if you trust him in it.
100%.
That's a wonderful, 100%. Really, really helpful. Tim, anything you'd add to that?
Yeah, I would just say that here's a really important reason why you have to pursue wisdom. You cannot be godly without it. Hmm. We don't connect wisdom to godliness. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Him we proclaim, speaking of Christ, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ.
Yeah.
How do you get to maturity in Christ? Yeah. You teach, you warn, but how do you do it? With wisdom. Without the wisdom, you can't present them mature in Christ. So I feel like without wisdom, wisdom is a pathway to maturity. It isn't just kind of a clever way to live. You just live better. No, you can't be godly without wisdom. So therefore, I say, why does wisdom matter? You can't be godly without it.
Amen.
Amen. That's very clear. That's so helpful and a wonderful defense for godly wisdom. This has been helpful, practical. And that's kind of the point of why we do this, hoping that when we take God's word and we think about how does this apply to our lives, that brings not only fruitfulness, but God's blessing, because we want to live according to what Scripture says for us as followers of Christ. So, Tim, thanks for joining us today your special word of wisdom, life experience, and just contributing on a lot of these questions today. Robbie, thanks
for having me.
Being here again as well. And for everyone tuning in, just hope this conversation has helped you apply God's word to your life as well. That's what Beyond the Sermon is all about. Until next time, know that you are loved.